Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Such as I, amen.
You are so gentle.
We praise you, Lord God.
So pure and so kind.
Praise your holy name.
You shine.
Thank you, Lord.
Like a bright morning.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
What a wonder you are.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray while we're standing. Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord God, for an opportunity that you give us to worship you, Lord God. Father, knowing that that's the only way we could know you is in worship, that you are worthy, Almighty God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for hearts that really surrender and cry out with admiration unto you, Lord God. We worship and praise your holy name, Father. Lord God, you know the need of your people, Lord God. And Father, I ask you to help us tonight, Lord, to touch the hearts, the thoughts, the minds of your people. We thank you in Jesus' name. Wonderful presence of the Lord, amen. God being a spirit, the only way we can contact him is by the Spirit. We have to learn to make a contact. You'll contact his angel, the angel of the Lord, through a many-membered body. Some don't consider that. I know we quote the scripture oftentimes. It says, beware when you entertain strangers, you know, that you could be entertaining angels unaware. You know, sometimes when people start thinking of an angel, you know, you'll hear, well, you know, my grandmother said that when she was in a car wreck that, you know, nobody else saw this guy, but I saw him and he helped me out of the car and he got me out of the way and the car burned. You hear these kind of stories and you say, well, do you believe that, Brother Rob? Well, sure I do. We're serving a mighty God that all things are possible with. But if that is the understanding of what we think of the intervention of an angel, there are not many around then. You understand that? There wouldn't be too many around if we was just waiting to hear those kind of stories. I heard a song where a gentleman was singing this song and went back to childhood and got lost in the woods and started to pray. And he said this man found him and led him home. Led him across the yard, and his mother was already out looking and concerned, and she didn't see this guy. You know, and inspired to write a song about, you know, God had brought this individual to him. The mother never saw this guy. And, you know, so there's many accounts of things of such. But, you know, when we think of entertaining strangers unaware, you know, they could be entertaining an angel. The thing is that people don't have eyes to see nor ears to hear as a rule. And you go speaking about this and people would when you unveil this that I'm speaking of right here, people draw back. But, I mean, we've got a whole host of scriptures to vindicate some things that would be simplistic doctrine to most of us here. But there's many that don't understand the visitation of the Lord and what the Bible teaches and what the Lord said. He said, I was in the hospital and you visited me not. He said, but Lord, when? I was in prison, you visited me not. But when were you in prison? He said, what you've done to the least of these was what you've done unto me. The scriptures talk about being encamped around with a great cloud of witnesses. Well, what is that? You know, many times we really miss the visitation of the Lord. And because many times it's because we think too highly of ourselves. Now, brethren, if we were going to think about deception, you know, well, I know I'm not deceived. But everybody says that very same thing. You know, everybody's got the right doctrine. I don't like to get in vain controversies or these biblical disputes. I don't mind being challenged if somebody challenges you in the scriptures. But a lot of times it's really not that way at all. They're just going to dispute. It don't matter. They're going to be contrary. No ugly spirit's going to rise up and different things. But if we would look at the number of religions in the United States of America, if we were really going to take a look at it and say, well, we could say the Baptists are one. The Baptists can't agree with one another. Got your first and your second Baptist, your free will Baptist, your fire-filled Baptist, spirit-filled Baptist, tongue-talking Baptist. You got one called the Bapticostals. You know? They're not in agreement with one another. You know, and a brother called me up and he said, well, Brother Rob, he said, are you a message church? I said, well, brother, I'm preaching the message. How's that? And he asked me again, are you a message church? I said, if you're referring to Brother Branham, of one of, you know, the Branhamite or a follower of that, I said, I believe Brother Branham was a mighty man of God, but I'm not considered when you're asking me that. And I said, the reason I can't number myself with the message church, because they're all crossed up with one another. Very few of them are in agreement with one another. You know, this is why there's so many churches and so many religions and so many denominations, because they're, you know, well, I don't like the way the pastor done my mama. Well, the pastor was doing what was with the guy. Well, I don't agree with that and I don't like it, so they go start another church, start another denomination. And this is why there's so many in America. But now if you get them all together and we pull them all under this one umbrella, we call Christianity, okay? Well, I'm a Baptist Christian. I'm a Pentecostal Christian. I'm a Methodist Christian. I'm a Church of God Christian. I'm Assembly of God Christian. I'm this and that. But then yet, I've been involved with so many different groups over the years and denominations, and they all feel like they've got an edge on the Word of God. And then I got involved with this called the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know the same thing. Well, we're the ones. We've got this thing. We got a little bit better of a measure, a little bit more of an understanding, a little greater revelation. See, I don't want to come across that way to people because there's so many people that are deceived. We think of if we were going to start talking about the people in Islam, I mean, they've got to be very sure and convinced that their God is the God. You know, how many of you are willing to put a bomb on your back and go blow some infidels up? Come on now, you got to have some kind of faith to do that. You know, it may not be the right faith. I know the Bible said one faith, one God, but I'm telling you, they got something going on to make, they're really convinced and believe. You say, well, no, they're not really convinced, they're really deceived. I say, yea and amen. But how many people are in Christianity that are deceived? And you say, well, it's impossible to deceive God's elect if you knew your Bible, Brother Rob. And I say, amen. I say, yea and amen. It's impossible to deceive God's elect. But then the Bible said to make your calling and your election sure. So the thing is I could sit there and say, I'm not deceived because I know I'm the elect, but what are you basing your election on? Well, I believe in Jesus. So does the devil. The Bible said the devil believes in Jesus with fear and trembling. And that's more so than a lot of Christian people I know that profess Christianity. At least the devil's got some fear and trembling. I know Christian people don't got no fear of God whatsoever. If they had fear, they would start walking and living right. If they had a little bit of fear of this God, and if they knew what kind of God we're serving. But they've been this watered down message of this merciful, long-suffering God that loves everybody. What a distortion of the truth. He doesn't love everybody. You know, man, yes, God's a merciful, long-suffering God. I'm here for that reason. because of the mercies of God. If we was under Old Testament doctrine, Brother Rob would have got dragged out, stoned many years ago. I never would have saw out of the teens. You understand what I'm saying? I never would have known what it was like to be 20 years old. I probably would have been stoned to death when I was about 13 years old. You don't get right down to it. You know, Jesus, you know, we think of him showing himself in the temple at 12 years old and astounded these wise men. So I know what the mercy of God is. A lot of times people hear me preach the gospel and I preach against sin. They think, man, he's taking away the mercy of God. No, the mercy of God is what's bringing the gospel to you, for you could perceive and see, comprehend and understand what you're accountable to and what you're required to do. You know, many times people think, well, you know, I asked Jesus in my heart. I said this prayer and I confessed with my mouth. And the Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Most men don't know how to believe in their heart. They really don't. And they're basing their salvation on that particular scripture in Romans, and they don't know how to believe in their heart because their heart is continually evil and wicked and divisive. That's what the Bible says about man's heart. So how are you going to take something that will deceive you and believe it? Well, I got faith in God. And I say, without faith, you can't know God, nor could you please God. But if you have enough faith to know this God, then you'd have enough faith to receive his power, and then you'd have enough faith to walk in his ordinances. And they said, I'll show you my faith by my works. So if your works don't show faith, well, you know, I know I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. Well, there's a multiplied millions of people that are in church every Sunday that are going to hell that don't know God. Yeah, but I preach, man. I could preach like a ball of fire. That don't mean nothing to me. You could prophesy and go to hell. Cast out devils and go to hell yourself. So you know what? You know, there's sayings that people, they're looking for something to vindicate that they're a Christian. And this is where the Pentecostals have gone wrong. We can go back to the Zuzu Street outpouring in the early 1900s. And this great Zuzu outpouring of the Holy Ghost there. And boy, this has birthed many denominations. And then the way the Spirit of God moved in this time. And today people are saying, man, I wish it was like the old times. Man, I wish we could have some of these Holy Ghost meetings. Man, some of these kind of things. They don't really wish that. They say that, but they don't know how the Spirit of God was dealing with the people at that time. Men used to get rebuked and reproved. Nowadays, you rebuke somebody openly from the sacred desk. I was reproving somebody one time, had some visions, get them walk out. I ain't going to go to no church preacher do that. That's what preachers are called to do. They're called to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. Oh, but with all long suffering, I was long suffering. I was sick of them. They become a prick in my side. But people don't understand that. They say, oh, I wish it was like this, or I wish that. But, you know, they don't know, brethren. They don't really have an idea of the operation of the Spirit of God. You know, some people have different thoughts and ideas. We could talk about Trinity. We could talk about oneness. We got some wacko out there now that's supposed to be a big mainline minister, and he's breaking it down. I think he's got about 9 or something. I don't know. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. It talks about the 7 spirits of God. Anybody ever read that? Chuck, if you can put that on the board. There's a place where it speaks of the 7 spirits of God. So how come you come against Trinity, Brother Rob, all the time when you preach? And now, you know, maybe we shouldn't have a Trinity. How would you say 7? A 70? If you're going to tell me God's got 7 spirits, how come he can't have 3 bodies? You see, it'd make people wonder. Why? Why can't he? I could say I marvel, maybe, for expression's sake, how people think, how mankind thinks. You know, they'll go to the same scriptures all the time to vindicate that the Father's a person. A good friend of ours that was here in this church, he made a statement in one of his writings. He said, well, I'm convinced that God's a 3-person God, and I'm convinced because the Father has compassion and emotion and feelings, has to be a person. That's about as an elementary of a statement I've ever heard, with all due respect for this great man of God. You know, but I'm saying, like, what, you don't think that a spirit, you know, this God that's been, you know, you say that this earth right here, they say it's 6,000 years old, but God has always been. He has no beginning, no end. So what was he there for all those other years before this 6,000? What was he? Just a blob, a nothing, no feelings, no emotions. No thought, no thinking. You know, so that's beyond reasoning. And then what about angels that have made visitations and stuff because they didn't have a body or considered as a person? Because the person is the one that's observing them, and they have this angelic host that comes before them. Sometimes they're mighty big and mighty tall and, you know, different things. And, you know, sometimes the expression of these angelic visitations, well, they didn't have no feelings because they weren't a person. They had no emotion. Man, they felt the grief of a failure of Israel and many things, and of a people. You know, that's just an ignorant statement, honestly speaking. Let me read this scripture. It says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So, little scripture foundation. So we seven spirits. So does that mean we have seven gods? I'm a spirit of God. Come on now. So there must be a lot more than that then, Brother Rob. No, I'm one with him. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But you see, these seven spirits, we have seven churches, seven church ages. Now we're going to start breaking some things down maybe and looking at some things in a chronological way. There's one God, brethren, only one God. And you say, well, you know, yeah, there's God the Father and then his son Jesus. And I say, yes, you got Bible for that. And I agree with that 100%. That's what I teach. If we look at these seven churches and we find these seven church age messengers and we find these seven spirits coming forth to the people. And if we're going to use the term chronological aspect, the chronological order, seeing God working with man through a course of time, through these seven church age, then you realize that each messenger that came was building upon the previous message. The great founder of the Methodist Church, Wesley, I believe was one of the seven church age messengers. He would be one vexed man of God right now to come back and see the condition. But let's talk about Brother William Branham. Let's say that we're going to call him a church age messenger. And this man departed in the 50s, 60s, excuse me. And this brother would be so vexed, so grieved with what the people have done with the message of God. But all through the course of time, it happens. You want to back up even farther back, and we think of Moses. He wasn't gone for too long. And what did they do? I mean, they saw the mighty salvation of the Lord. They saw a sea parted. You know, they saw when they were out there murmuring and upset, man, you brought us out here to die. They brought water forth out of a rock to give drink to millions of people. Manna coming out of heaven. And then they go out there and build up a golden calf. You see, all men's hearts are fashioned alike. This is what we do as man. We can sit here and say, oh, them bunch of idiots. But we're doing it. We got all these golden calves. We got all these things that we bring before God. And we dance around them. It might be a PhD. Might be a doctor's degree. It might be a high school education. Might be your career. It's the same thing. We bring something before God. But this here we find a whole group of people, and they easily led and follow after something. Sometimes your mother's religion and granddaddy's religion was good. But what if it departs, the truth? You're just going to stay there because that's what mama was? Let me tell you something I observed in the 80s. I went into a church, and I became part of this brotherhood in this church. These people were there sitting under a reprobate pastor. But I was just as ignorant because, you know, I made a conversion and gave my life in this particular type of church. You know, it was Assembly of God. So when I relocated and moved into another town, I didn't go before the Lord in prayer and say, you know, hey, I'm going to really seek and I'm going to, you know, visit some churches, this and that. I was young in the Lord. I was very young. I was only been saved about a year. So, you know, when relocating into this town, you know, hey, I just went to an Assembly of God. There was only one in this town, man. That was easy. All I do is look in the phone book. Yeah, this is what I am. And I go to this church, and they lost their sovereignty. It was under district supervision, it was called. And it's because they went through too many pastors. They gave them the sovereignty church, have a right to vote in and vote out pastors, which is out of order to the word of God, unless the pastor fails. It's not the way biblically it's supposed to be. But regardless, they put in a pastor, the district did. And he was a reprobate. I mean, a reprobate. I was zealous. I loved the Lord. This church had a handful of people in it. I would go out and knock on doors all day Saturday, inviting people to church. That's what I did. I wasn't on no payroll, no. That's just, man, I loved people. And no bus broke down, and I went and asked him, I said, hey, do you care if I fix that bus? You can do what you want. So I went and got it running. I took it over to my house, worked on it, got the bus up, put the name of the church on the side of it. First Sunday I brought it, it was full. That's how many people I brought. I thought, man, I need a bigger bus. The guy said, well, you're going to have to ask the people. And I thought, no way. He said, yeah, you're going to have to get up behind the, they called it a pulpit, and he said, you'll have to ask the people and tell them what you want to do, and we'll raise some money. Man, I tell you what, man, my knees are banging and stuff. I've never got up in front of no people before. But you know what? Raised up enough money that day. I went out and bought another bus. Traded that one in and got a 60-passenger bus. The other one was a 30-some passenger, I think 38. But you know, this is what I was as Assembly of God at this particular time. And I came to this church. So I started getting involved in the ministry. And I started as a children's chaplain, I guess they called it, children's pastor. Then they made me Sunday school superintendent, and the pastor was a lying thief. So I was being trained and learning different things, how to be a lying thief. No. Hey, it tore me up. I just didn't think there was such a thing. I was naive. I thought if a man was a pastor, man, he was born of God and had the Spirit of God, and he would never cheat, lie to you, or do anything wrong. I guess I was naive, but I'm telling you, boy, I wish that was the truth. Now they call themselves a pastor. I'm like, whoa, dude. I'm scared of you, sir. Amen? I'm a little bit afraid of you. Have a right to be. Let me tell you something. I know I'm hard on preachers, but I got a high expectation of a man of God. I got a really high expectation of their conduct, the way they live, the way they do. I just have a high expectation because the Word of God does. I don't mean to just drag this little part out here, but I go to this church because this is what I'm, you know, I felt like I was. Because this is what, I had a great experience in this church. They buried my best friend. The preacher preached down my throat. I came, gave my life to the Lord. I mean, this guy's preaching a funeral, man, and he's looking at me out there like that. And the guy's, you know, man, he just preached his funeral right down my throat. As soon as he got done, he came off and walked straight to me. He says, why don't you come to church with me? I never quit. A family got mad at him, this other preacher. First time I come to church, man, I wasn't a church guy. I knew about airplanes, man. I knew nothing about church. And I come to church and the preacher calls me out and he says, here, I want you to open this up in prayer. A family that they just buried their son, which was my friend, got so upset with this preacher for asking me to do that. But he knew what he was doing. I remember when he asked me to do that, I stood up and the Spirit of God moved on me. I never felt that before. He was saying, hey, you're part of this thing. But I relocated from that one, so I figured this other one would be the same way, and I found a thief, a liar, and it hurt me. Because I trusted him. This was my pastor. And he lied and cheated me. And I thought, come on, this can't be. I didn't know what to do, but I left. I didn't just leave. I packed up with my family and everything. And we left the whole state. You know, I'd done that numerous times. I didn't know how to deal with that. And I'd done that many times. But the story I'm trying to make here is these people sat under this reprobate because my daddy built this church. And my mama built this church, and they stayed in that church. That was an ignorant thing to do. They should have departed. This building is temporal. We should honor it. We should take care of it. And it should have some value to us. But let me tell you something. You put a reprobate in there and a thieving scumbag, he's going to destroy the people. Things were in error. I was zealous, brought a lot of people there. Little church was running about 30 people when I come, and when I walked out, I left 150 people there. You see, I could have blood on my head, but I was too young and to understand what was going on. I walked off and left. Dell knows another church that I helped build in California. Went from nothing. We had close to 200 people just in a 6-8 week period. And the same foolishness started happening there, and I said, man, I'm out of here. And I left. I was 30, 40 miles away, man, heading out, pulling my 40-foot fifth wheel, had my family in my truck, and the Lord said, where are you going? I said, I don't really know, but I know I'm out of there. And he said, I didn't tell you to leave. And he spoke to me. He said, you're going to have those people's blood on your hands. And I had to go back and confront a pastor about his wife being full of the devil and a witch. You ever done that before? That really make you real popular. Hey, man, they were chanting. They were doing witchcraft and chanting around my 40-foot fifth wheel at night, going around to get me out of there. They wanted me gone. this woman did. She wanted me gone. And boy, I started checking into some things. Went down and checked out the headquarter church that owned the property, that nothing was happening there. And I said, man, this is a mess. Man, I'm ready to go. But you know, the guy asked me. He said, I want you to preach. And I got in there and I preached the gospel. And I preached hard. And I said, I'm leaving here. And I said, if y'all stay, the blood's on your own head. I'm telling you that this ain't right. That's a nice message to hear. And I left. What are you saying, Brother Rom? Why would I be speaking like this? Because you might be falling into the same death trap. I'm talking about me. The things I got involved in. And God said, you must go. You had to depart. The Bible said, two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. And if you're sitting under something or fellowshipping in something that isn't right, you're going to stand the same judgment as that person. Do you realize that? That's the Bible. Some of the churches have got their eyes open to Billy Graham now and found out that he is a devil. You say, boy, Brother Rob, man, that's one of the greatest men of God in America. You can't say that. I just said it. Now, I can stand the judgment of God and be cast into hell for saying that if he's a real man of God. Maybe he's repented. But let me tell you, he's done some things that are absolutely so wrong. I'm sorry to say that. See, I had much respect for Billy Graham. Do you realize that the Pentecostal churches accepted him across the board? He crossed all denominational lines, and he was able to pull thousands of people together. He was a great man of God at one particular point of time and was drawing many people, but he sold out. I had an article, I think I still have it, but a Time magazine called The Winter Time of His Life. I heard a preacher say that this man was the Antichrist. Talking about Billy Graham, I went, whoa. You know, I mean, this guy, this preacher made some astounding statements and a lot of things. And he said, you know, that he was Antichrist. And I'm like, wow, never heard that about Billy Graham. I've been, you know, around a few years, you know, done some preaching here and there. And I never heard that kind of comment. And I just like, I had a lot of confidence and respect for this man of God. And I didn't think much of it. I didn't say anything. But then I go and find this article. And in this article, it said that he didn't think it was necessary to believe in a virgin birth. Doing away right there with some of the simplest plan of salvation and the simplest plan. If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin birth, then he would be no different than any other man. And he said he didn't think it was necessary to believe that. And he said he didn't know if angels, he wrote a book on angels, but he said he didn't know if angels were real or not. And then he said that he didn't know if hell was literal or not. This is one of the greatest evangelists of America. And as the Bible said, they surpass land and sea and make twofold more the child of hell. Let me tell you what Billy Graham's doctrine has done to the churches, the Protestant churches of America. Come and say this prayer and you're saved. Repeat this prayer after me. Ask Jesus in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you're saved. And they turn around, walk out the door, and they say, I'm a Christian now, I'm saved. Do you realize what the population rate would be in America if the people of America or the husbands and wives had one relationship and said, okay, I'm expecting now? It'd be thinned down a whole bunch, wouldn't it? Now think about that. No man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws. But you know, we say, come on in these altars. You say, well, the Spirit drawed them. No man drawed them. There's a difference. Man, you could convince somebody, you could put fear in them, you could do all these things, but if the Spirit of God ain't drawn, say, man, you're going to hell, buddy. Oh, man, they run it. Well, just say this prayer, and then you're not going no more. Oh, you could live the way you're living. You could go ahead and continue on doing what you're doing. See, they don't understand the Bible. They simply do not understand the Word of God. God has expectations of His children. How many of you men in here are fathers? A lot of you could raise your hand. Did you have expectations of your children? Well, why wouldn't you think God wouldn't have expectations of His? You say, I'm a son of God. Man, I could live like the devil. I don't think so. I'm going to go out and frolic in the world. I don't think so. He's got an expectation. It's guidelines are in the Scriptures and in the Word of God. I could take you into the Scriptures and read many guidelines to you. So we look at a Scripture and talk about these seven spirits of God, and we find out that there are seven churches. And we find that the Spirit of God visits these church leaders. These seven churches through this course of time. And you can say, well, it's talking about the churches over there in Asia that Paul founded this. And I said, amen, I agree with you 100%. But there's also, through the chronological order of the church, there's different things that are taking place in these different times. And they bring in a message. When we think of the Catholic Church, and we find a brother puts his life on the line to protest against the largest religious order of that day and hour, of the Christian move. He protested. And he found that there was error in what they had done with the Catholic Church, the universal church of Catholicism. He protests against it, puts his life on the line, and out comes another move of God, the Protestant move. So then Wesley comes along after that. And he had methods. He said, wait a minute, there's an order and methods. And he started bringing out some more revelation of the scriptures, of how church services are to be conducted. He brought in a message of sanctification. You see, the churches are still crossed up today on the message of sanctification. I bet you can't find a Methodist person that could teach what sanctification really is. I bet you they can't come to agreement. You see, the Assemblies of God and the Church of God were banging heads over sanctification. And they were both two Pentecostal works of God, and they were banging heads, and they were both right. Because sanctification is differentiated. Now, we've taught on translation of the spirit, transformation of the mind, transfiguration of the body. We've taught on justification through the spirit, sanctification, running in that middle realm, transforming your mind and thoughts daily, killing out that man, mortifying the deeds of your flesh. That's part of sanctification on a daily perspective. The once and for all sanctification is when your spirit has been justified by the works of Christ at Calvary. I'm challenging you. Are you trying to convert me to be in Christian temple? I hope not. You know, there could be people sitting in Christian temple church that are going to hell. Christian temple isn't what you need. You need the Spirit of God. Amen. We don't need you here unless you're going to line up and work with this and be part of it. So it's not that I'm trying to compel anybody to be part of this work. I'm trying to get people to examine themselves to see if they be in the faith and see if they're walking in the Spirit of God and they understand the invisible world. God is invisible. I can show you that in the scriptures. The Father is invisible. No man is seen until he come and walked among as a man. Philip asked Jesus, said, when are we going to see the Father? And he said, how can you say you haven't seen the Father when I've been with you so long? Isn't that something? You know what Trinitarian will say that? Well, he's just letting him know that him and the Father have the same mind. That's not what he said at all. That isn't at all what he said. I started out speaking about deception and about how many people are deceived in our country through deception. If I ask you to raise your hand, am I going to do it? How many think that Obama's deceived? Well, I got y'all in one mind and one accord now. Well, he's not a Christian, Brother Ron. Well, he says he is. He's not a good one, I'll clue you that, if he was one at all. You know, the Bible said the Word of God's not for private interpretation, okay? We need to understand the Bible and the Word. And I've talked to so many people over the years, and I go to them, and we get into a Bible discussion. I say, wait a minute. If I show you in your Bible what you said is not accurate in the Word of God, and you're wrong, they don't care. Well, this is what I am. Granddaddy can't be right. I had a lady come here and she said, Brother Rob, if I believe what you're preaching, my daddy's in hell. And I said, why would you say such a thing as that? Because what you're preaching is different than what my daddy preached. But let me tell you something. Daddy might have been under the grace of God because he didn't know. So are we going to deprive ourselves from the revelation of the word because granddaddy didn't come to that kind of an understanding? Or daddy? Her daddy was a pastor. And I said, absolutely not. If your father never come to this revelation, he loved the Lord with all of his heart and was sincere, he could be an under the grace of God. But the Bible does say this, if they preach any other doctrine in Jesus, let him be accursed. Her daddy may be in hell. So by denying the truth is going to make daddy right? How many of you would put your confidence and faith in your father to follow him into the kingdom? I hope none of you. I hope none of you would do that. If you are, you're an absolute ignorant fool. Don't you call no man fool, you'll be in danger. Well, your fool ain't strong enough word. I'm trying to think of another one. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. What are they fashioned like? They're deceptive. Walking in deception. Walking in blindness. Blind leaders following after the blind. We're to follow Christ and his word. So I say, follow me. You say, oh, no. Didn't Brother Paul say that? And everybody said, follow me as I follow Christ. I could show you a place where he said, follow me. I'm not ashamed to tell somebody to follow me. I happen to know where I'm at. Well, you might be deceived yourself, Brother Rob. You know, I've considered that. You know, the Bible said they look in the looking glass, they walk away not remembering what manner of man they are. What is that saying? There's many that haven't done that. There's many that are afraid to challenge themselves. There's many that are afraid to examine. And they've come under another mind that they like to just, well, you know, hey, I know I'm right. Has anybody ever been so confident they were right and come find out they was wrong? Or maybe wasn't going to admit it, huh? There's some people that have a real problem with admitting wrong. They're so full of pride themselves that they would never admit that they're wrong. You understand that? They just won't do it. They're just so proud and so full of themselves. I had one preacher tell me, he said, I told him, I rebuked him. I said, you've missed God. He said, I've never missed the Lord. And I thought, come here, let me shake your hand. I said, I've never met a man of God said that before. I've never missed the Lord. Gosh, can you think of anything like that? Has anybody ever met a man of God ever that said that they'd never miss God? I'll tell you what, the only one that I could say that could say something like that is one that wasn't doing nothing. I'd rather be making mistakes trying to do something for God than sitting around scared to do anything. That's what he done with the talents if you read in the Bible. I'm going to go bury this. I'm afraid I don't want to grieve this, you know, so I'll just go bury it and I'll give it back to him. Man, that grieved him. He took it away from him, gave it to the guy that had a whole bunch. That's God, brethren. You know, we got a poor mentality in America, and they think, oh, yeah, Obama's really spreading this message. Take it from the wealthy and give it to the poor. That's not God's way, brethren. I'm sorry. If you read in the scriptures, God took it from the one that had nothing or one and gave it to the guy with five. Come on now, that's God's way. Boy, you must be a Republican. Oh, boy, that's funny. Y'all quiet tonight. I could preach. I'm just talking to you tonight, man. Y'all know I could preach. I could get into the scriptures right here and we can start preaching, shouting, and casting out devils. I mean, if you want to get down to preaching, I like casting out devils like I like preaching too. You know, done a few of them. I've had them on the floor. I had an old heroin addict come to church. I said, get up here right now. I'm going to lay hands on him. Nope. I said, I'm not giving you a choice. I said, get up here right now. There's a devil talking back at me. I said, get up here right now. And she come up. She said, I'm scared of you. I said, I is too. Started casting the devil out of that woman, and she fell and bounced off the floor. And the Lord said, that wasn't me. That's that old religious spirit. He'd think, you know what, man, if I just act like I'm slain in the spirit and I fall on the floor, man, that preacher ain't going to touch me then. He's just going to leave me be. No, I'm not one of them charismatic preachers. I jumped right down there and I yanked her up. I said, get up here on your feet right now. I'm not done praying for you. I've done that with more than one person. I know that God could take the life out of you and drop you on the floor. Not this Benny Hinn foolishness. Oh, and we're not going to go on him, are we, Brother Rum? Reprobate, twofold more the child of hell. You can't say that. You want me to show you in the scriptures where they called them out by name? They mark them? You know, I'm called to defend the truth. And when some reprobate preacher gets on national TV and he's got a big bunch of people following after him, somebody needs to cry out and say, hey, that's doctrines of devils. And it ain't of God. Well, you've hit a bunch of them tonight, Brother Ralph. I'm just talking with you, man. I'll close your thoughts on Billy Graham. If a man doesn't know if Jesus Christ was born of a virgin birth, or they said it's not necessary to have salvation for that, that man is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If he doesn't believe in hell, then he has no business being a preacher. The Bible said they surpassed land and sea, making twofold more the child of hell. Proselyting. I'm sorry if this bothers you, but I'm telling you what, if you're going to say that the whole world will follow after the Antichrist, the whole world follows after him, then why would you be a little bit alarmed that 90% of the church world followed after Billy Graham? One of the first ones to stand against him, publicly speaking and nationwide speaking, was Bob Jones University. He said, I know he's Baptist. We're not going to have none to do with him. He's in error and he's wrong. And they backed away from him. Man, praise God for a Baptist preacher. Had a little sense, a little bit of understanding. Let me go on just for a moment. I'm going to close here right directly, just kind of talking with you a minute. You know, you say, well, does it make you better than those people when you bash them like that, Brother Rob? Absolutely not. It makes me accountable. I'm just trying to help you. We start out talking about deception. And I'm asking each and every one in here, how do you know that this is right? Let's talk about Christian Temple. How come you're so sure that Christian Temple's right? What if Brother Rob's deceived? What if Brother Rob's a blind leader? What if Brother Rob's leading you all into hell? I don't need to go there because most of you are checking that out all the time anyway. What makes you think you're right, Brother Rob? I'm not right. See, that's what helps me. I am not right. He's right. And I'm going to point you to Him. Okay? I'm going to get you to Him, and I am a servant of His. Okay? And if you like it, sorry. If you don't, sorry. I'm a servant of God. I can go into a lot of scriptures tonight for you to beware about the servant of God. Beware about this man. Beware of that prophet. If he prophesies things and they come to pass, you need to be afraid of him. We can go down a lot of trails here. You see, brethren, many times people haven't challenged themselves. They haven't challenged their doctrine. They haven't challenged what they believe. I could take most people and tear their religion apart in just a couple minutes if they would take and sit down with the scriptures. But most of them are so blinded that it doesn't matter when you bring them the absolute facts and the truth. They're still going to walk in what they are. You can't do that. There's so many of these denominations that have turned away. Let me ask you something. If you're following after a work and they've got these kind of guidelines and convictions in the 70s that, you know, we don't practice this. This is wrong. It's evil. It's of the world. It's of the devil. And then the same denomination over in 2000, everything's okay. I had a man come to this church, and his mother was with the Assembly of God from way back in the 50s. And the women had to wear long hair. But now his mom had a bob top, cut all of her hair off. The women wore dresses. But now it's okay to put on slacks and pantsuits. And he said, Mom, why? How come when I raised up in a home, this is what I heard from you, and this is what you preach, you're still going to send your, but now you can do all this stuff. Why? I'm afraid of something that makes change. The Bible said, woe unto them that are given to change. And if I heard a doctrine being preached by the founder of a work of God, and the whole church is turned away from, I'd be a little bit apprehensive. Wouldn't you? The Bible said not to remove the old landmarks. But how come the church has made so many alterations, and how come they've rewritten so many Bibles? The favored Bible for the Assembly of God Church is the NIV. That's their favored Bible. I was given one. When I first started preaching, I was using an NIV Bible. I went in a brother's church, and he said, you're not using that Bible in my church, brother. Thank God for a man of God. Praise God for a real man of God. And he said, if you're going to preach in this church, you're going to use a King James Bible. I said, why? And he explained to me. And I made alterations and changes. Are you willing to make changes in your life if it's unpleasing to God? How many people are afraid to challenge even their Bibles? They don't think anything about taking the things that are offensive out of it. We're in a politically correct society right now. And we've got to be this political correct. And you know, we're afraid to offend anybody. Well, you're better off to put a millstone around your neck to offend one of my little ones. The problem is they ain't one of his little ones. They're reprobate pigs. I don't mind offending a reprobate, a pig, a swine, a whore. I don't have no problem with that. They're not his. And when I take a little young fellow that's been converted and he's received, and I come with too strong of a doctrine because he's just a baby in Christ to offend him, I got a real problem then. But I'm talking about dealing with a reprobate mind. Let me ask you a question. If you're going to stick with that doctrine about offending somebody, do you think Jesus ever offended anybody? I'm asking you. Woman comes for the healing of her daughter, comes to Jesus for the healing of her child, and he said, it isn't for the dogs. Another man's father dies. Jesus says, come on, follow me. But Lord, I got to go bury my dad. You know, my daddy died. Man, God, you need to feel sorry for me or something. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. Come on, let's go do something. Huh? And you talk about getting offended because somebody didn't save your seat? Or maybe the preacher mentioned some reprobate pig that you call a pastor or preacher? That's nothing but a twofold child of hell? Come on now. I'm not afraid to offend, brethren. I'm sorry. You say, well, you need to back off a little bit. I had preachers tell me that for years. Oh, back off a little bit, Brother Rob. Your offerings will come up. I said, I'm not here for an offering. I don't care about your offering. Keep your money. They say, you need to back off a little bit. See, people don't like sin to be exposed. Why? Because they're told in their churches that they're sinners and they sin every day. Now listen closely, because I don't want to offend nobody. So I'm going to be nice about this. If you sit in a church and the preacher tells you that you're a sinner and sin every day, I'm going to be careful not to offend. But I want you to take this word to him. If you have a preacher that teaches you that you're a sinner and you sin every day, I want you to take this word and tell him this came from a spirit-filled man named Brother Rob Coons. And he said, you're the devil. Okay? I want you to tell him that. Please, have him call me, write me, bring your whole church over. And I'll tell him that to his face. But let me tell you something. That's a doctrine that's being taught in the churches of America. And that's the biggest lie from hell there is. Brethren, if you sin, you're of your father, the devil. So if a preacher says that you're a sinner, he's telling you that you're of your father, the devil. And the reason he's telling you that, because he's of the father, the devil. Preachers don't preach that. A spirit-filled man of God does not preach a doctrine that you're a sinner and you sin every day. When you're born of God, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, all things become new, and you are a blood-bought, born-again child of God, and it's impossible for you to sin. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. It said its seed remaineth in you, and it keepeth you from sin. It is absolutely impossible. If you go and say, well, I could prove you're wrong, and I'm going to go out and sin, you just made proof that you're of your father, the devil. You see, what's what we can't teach that stuff. We got to teach the Word of God and stay with the Word of God. Just talking with you a little bit this evening. I'm not trying to upset nobody, brethren. I'm just talking to you about the Word of God is real. And if the Bible says that when you sin, you're of your father, the devil, why would a preacher teach that? You see, we got to get into Scriptures. We got to learn the Word of God. Your preacher may be just a little novice baby. I'll give him, you know, maybe he'll come out of, get out of his diapers and start teaching the Bible one day. Amen. I just got done telling you, I said under a preacher, he's a reprobate liar. He stole from me. He cheated the people, but I'm an assembly of God. And I sat there and stayed in a church like that. How foolish. You know, brethren, if this is what you were, say praise God for the revelation or the understanding that you came to there. But when you perceive that there's something not right, have some concern for your soul and concern for others' soul. If you're sharing the gospel with people and trying to get them into the kingdom, and then you bring them to a church and they're defiling them in the doctrine, just like I did when I left that church, and God said, where are you going? You say, I'm going to leave. He said, wait a minute. But see, I was different. I was preaching at church. I was preaching, and I was responsible for 90% of the people in there by evangelizing. And I thought, man, this is foolish. This is not right. And I left. What kind of ignorance was I for that? Man, I'm so thankful that God spoke to me so clear that I had to turn around and go back. I would have put people in danger. You invite people to your church, and your pastor's teaching that you're a sinner, and you sin every day, and you're going to take people to be converted and perverted to that, and you'll stand in hell with them. That's why the Bible says gnashing of teeth. They're going to be chewing on you in hell. I mean that. They're going to be chewing on you in hell through all of eternity because you invited them to a reprobate, perverted church that is teaching a lie. We're talking about deception, and I'm closing right now. Deception. We're talking about deception. Well, you think you're right, Brother Rob. I've examined and I've looked. And I'm challenging you that are listening to me by the way of internet. I'm challenging anybody that's sitting here. If you could show me one place in the Scriptures and the Word of God where I'm in error, I'll shake your hand and love you. But I don't have a spirit of error. I've made mistakes, but I don't have no spirit of error. And if somebody corrects me in the Scriptures, I think, well, praise God. But bring Scriptures, bring Word with you. And let me tell you something. Sometimes you can bring one scripture to me, but I might have 15 going another way. Well, I got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I got Bible for that. Matthew 28:19, brother, here it is. It's written right here. It's in red. And this is what Jesus said. And I got baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I said, your sins ain't been remitted, though, and you're on your way to hell. Well, I got Bible. I'm going to show you Bible, too. You got one scripture there, And it said, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And I'll show you plenty of other scriptures where they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Peter was there when he said that. And Peter went and baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. But see, you're following doctrines of devils when you do it any other way. You know why? Because that's Catholicism. And the Catholic Church is the one that changed the formula of baptism. They're the ones that done it. So you're a Catholic. I told a Pentecostal preacher he's a Catholic, and boy, he wanted to fight with me. I've been called a devil many times. Don't worry about it. So if you're going to call me a devil, you won't be the first one. They called Jesus one too. If you hate what I'm talking about here, that's okay too, because they hated what he said also. They took up stones to stone him. Amen. I love you and I appreciate you. I don't want to offend anybody. That's not my purpose. I do say things sometimes purposely to shake you a little bit, just for you'll start looking and consider. I remember, and I've said this many times from the sacred desk, sometimes people, I watch them when they're making a plan to go on a vacation, they're more concerned with their itinerary and their flight schedules and the gate numbers and how much the baggage weighs. They go through much pain and stuff to make sure every T is crossed. But when it talks about going to the kingdom of God and making it into heaven, oh, hey, praise God. I just know grandma, man, she was a saint of God. Grandma might be in hell burning. You ever think of that? Oh, surely not my grandma. You know, everybody, when they die, they become a saint, right? That's what everybody believes, right? You want to find out if a preacher lies? Go to a funeral with him. Oh, he's a good man. The Bible said there's none good. Oh, he's looking good. No, he's dead. Oh, God help us. We just have a way of just, you know, we all fit in the same little old mold, you know. Well, I'm going this way because that guy's going this way. You know, I believe this because that guy believes this. Examine, challenge it. Get in the scriptures. Figure it out. If you believe that you're a homosexual and that you are a Christian, hey, man, you find a church, they'll tell you the same thing. They'll bear hug you in the altars. Hey, you can find anything that you want. I'm telling you the truth. It don't matter what you believe. You can find somebody, and some reprobate preacher say, oh, yeah, you're my brother. God bless you. Hey, they got some of them out there saying Jesus was a sodomite. What an abomination of thought. They just, all they got to do is read in the Bible. Leaves his natural affection for the woman, goes after a man, says it's an abomination. He taught that in the Old Testament. Took care of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now we got a bunch of pervert churches. They got queers, man, singing in some of the churches. They get up there and sing and lead you in music. We just pulled all of our sisters out of Kairos ministry, going into the prison, reaching people for the gospel, because they got some lesbian pervert going to be in there singing about Jesus. Well, I'm not going to be in there listening to her. None of these sisters will either. Oh, you need to back off a little bit, Brother Rob. Why? Why would we back off? Somebody's got to make a stand against sin. And there ain't no lesbian that's born again. Brother Bo had a little post on his thing the other day on his Facebook thing. And a brother went on there and said, I know he's got a lesbian sister. And he said, it don't matter what you say. I know that my sister loves God. That's a lie from hell. The Bible said, if you love him, you keep his commandments. And you say, well, I know I love God. And I said, no, you're deceived. Because if you loved him, you'd keep his commandments. And your commandments aren't grievous, but you're questioning the word all the time. Well, I want my liberties in this. I want my liberties in that. I want to do this. I got my own life. I want to do my own thing. You're not a child of God. The Bible said you lay your life down as a living sacrifice. That's your reasonable service. That's what the Bible says. So when you're making your own decisions, doing your own thing, you're a reprobate on your way to hell. You got to become, to make it in the kingdom, I said, you got to become as a child. What does a child do? Does he go over? What's Sister Melissa going to say when her little 10-year-old boy said, Mom, I'm staying all night at Micah's tonight. I'll see you tomorrow. She say, wait a minute, young man. You ain't going to come to me and tell me what you're doing. You know, I might have let you if you come to me, but you're going to come with that kind of spirit? Shut up, boy. You're staying home tonight. That's what real mamas do, huh? What are you going to do? You're a child of God? Oh, beloved, now we're sons of God. You're going to say, this is what I'm going to do. It don't work that way. He tells you what you're going to do and when you're going to do it and where you're going to do it at if you're a son of God. If you're a real child of God, you've submitted your sovereignty to him. Well, I've got a sovereignty. I do what I want. I know, and it's going to, and you just go after your own will and you'll find yourself in hell. That's man's ways. That's the way of a man. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. That's the way of man. He's convinced in his own ways, and he's following after his own ways. And the Bible said the end of the matter is damnation. We can't follow after our own ways. Well, I choose this religion because I like it. You don't choose a religion, brother or sister. We don't choose a religion. We follow God. well, I got a sovereignty. I'm going to make my own decisions and do my own thing. I said, I'll promise you one thing. I know that way very well. And it leads to destruction. Follow the Word of God. Submit to the Word of God. Yield to the Word of God. Remove the religious framework. Remove all the religious junk. And let's just go right to the Bible and read the Bible and let the Word of God be real and let it be true. And when you hear a preacher come into your church and he's going to make excuses and take a bunch of time to explain why we don't do it the way they done it 2,000 years ago. Well, 2,000 years ago it was like this. There's a woman trying to justify being a woman preacher because, you know, the women in that day and hour weren't educated. But now the women are educated so they can be a preacher. What a reprobate woman. You know, the Bible's just very clear about that. Oh, I know, but you're going to make excuses and you'll sit under a woman. But listen to me. It's absolutely clear in the Scriptures and the Word of God. It's impossible for a woman to be a pastor, a bishop. There's no Scripture for it nowhere. None. Zero. But then yet you'll have some reprobate come along and teach you why. That it's okay. You know why the woman can't be a preacher in the Scriptures? Because she's the weaker vessel and she was in the transgression and the fall all the way back in Genesis. That's where the problem began. And he said, I'm going to put you under the man. Under subjection to the man. That's why a woman can't be a pastor. That's why a woman should be submissive. Because they were in the fall. But how many churches have women pastors in them? Why don't they just read the Bible? I'm really popular tonight, ain't I? Well, you know, see, Brother Rob, the men have fallen away and the men ain't doing anything, so God had to raise up a woman. Well, since all the men are failed, go marry you another woman. That's the same thing. It's the same perversion. I had a man want to fight with me, you know, one night after church. He got in my face. My grandma was a preacher and you said she was a pervert. I said, no, I never said your grandma was a pervert. I said a woman pastors the exact same perversion as a lesbian woman. No difference, thus saith the Lord. No difference. Same, matter of fact, it's more filthy of a perversion. And you say, you can't say that, Brother Rob. I just said it. I'll say it twice. It's a perversion. It's not of God. It's a perversion. It's a perversion for a woman to marry a woman or a man to marry a man. And it is a perversion for a woman to pastor a church. Well, give us some Bible for it. If you want to sit down, I'll get in the Bible with you and I'll prove it to you and show it to you in the Scriptures. And then you're going to burn in hell for rebellion against God's Word. And I'll show you in the Word. But you'll go and get somebody to take and twist the Scriptures around. Just like I said, a woman says, well, you know, they weren't educated back then, but they're educated now. I'll tell you what to do for yourself. You don't have to listen to this ignorant man up here. That's offensive and insulting. Go to a website. Let me tell you the name of it. It got a good article on it. Now, I don't know about all the other questions, but I'm in 100% agreement with them on women preachers. Somebody showed that to me, and I took time and read it. And I think it's questions with an S, gotquestions.org. And all they're going to do is they're going to take you and show you the Bible, and they're going to give you all the 2,000 excuses why women say they could be preachers. And they're going to tell you all their things and what they say, and then he's going to use the Scriptures to debate everything that they're saying today. It's not right. If you read about it through the Scriptures, there's nowhere in the Bible. It says that the bishops to be the husband of one wife. If it was going to be woman bishops, or we would have said, and also, or the wife of one husband. That's just one passage of Scriptures. But there's so many. He said, I suffer not the woman to sup authority over man. A pastoral position is authoritative position. It's supposed to be, but now there's a bunch of sissy wimp pastors in. They don't take no authority over nothing. But a pastor's an authoritative position. You're taking souls into your hands. And you're taking authority over lives. And helping people. He said, I suffer not the woman to sup authority over man. Suffer not the woman to teach. The Bible says that a bishop is apt to teach, has to teach. So how could a bishop be a woman if it said, I suffer not the woman to teach? Why don't he want the woman teaching? Because she's the weaker vessel and she'll get perverted real easy by perverted spirits. A woman don't need to be making a decision what church she goes to. She needs a husband to make the decision because her mind is easily perverted because deceiving spirits of devils. You say, man, you're insulting all the women now, Brother Rob. No, I'm not insulting. This is why I love my wife and I take care of her and I lead her by love. A woman needs that. Are you so high and mighty, sister, that you don't think you can be deceived when the whole world's deceived? Women can be deceived much easier than a man. A man could break a spirit like that. You could take a man and you could rebuke him and he could change overnight. A woman cannot do that. It ain't in a woman's makeup to do that. A woman will never make a change like a man. This is why fathers are supposed to be teaching their daughters in the way that they should go. And they say, well, what do you mean, Brother Rahm? I raised them up in church and they're off at federal doping and parno. You didn't raise them right. Well, I tell you what, we can sure get some things. Very good write-up, though, on women preachers. Very, very edifying, very educational, and very accurate and very right. Also had a writing. I read two of them on there. The rest of them, they might go defending something that's in error. But I read another one on there about the Sabbath day. And very good writing on the Sabbath. And I've done some teaching on it and different things. But most of the churches that have come against you for not keeping Saturday, you know what the argument is? For your church services. And nowhere on keeping the Sabbath it was having to do with church service. It was having and not to do with worship at all. It was a day of rest to man. A day of rest. That's what it was all about. And then we get in New Testament doctrine, it totally changes. It reproves us if we esteem one day greater than another. Every day is the day of the Lord for us. And we worship God on every day. But you know, we happen because in the New Testament teaching, we give the first fruit. It says in the New Testament, in the Bible, it said they come together the first day of the week and leave your tithes and your offerings. He told them to do it on the first day. I don't see anything wrong with meeting on the first day, do you? And plus, he says we're going to give them the first of everything. We give them the first increase of our crops. We give them the first increase of everything that we have. So let's give him the first day of the week and worship the Lord and start our week out right. And let's keep worshiping him the second day and the third day also. But I had a very good article on that in that same one. I have slight reservation of promoting the thing because I've only been there twice and I've read two of those articles. And they were very accurate. You say, well, they agreed with you, Brother Rob. That's why you like them. Well, let me tell you something. There was scripture references all the way through, and they took you to the Word of God. And I'm in agreement with the Word of God. I hope you can say that. But it's evident in your teaching. It's evident in your doctrines. It's evident in your life that you don't know the Word of God, even though you've been around it all your life. You don't know it. When you defy the Word of God and put your soul in subjection to damnation, and you'll keep talking about the mercy of God. Well, God loves everybody. God ain't going to put me in hell. Let me tell you, if you'd read in the Bible, he opened up the ground and swallowed up 30-some thousand in one day of his elect children, Hebrew children, for murmuring and complaining. That's what he did. You know, you need to start reading. He took one of his prophets because he didn't yield to him and submit to him. He had him fall over backwards and break his neck. You know, another one of his prophets that didn't yield to him and submit to him, he had him killed right in the streets. For everybody would know that God had something to do with it, the lion stayed there and didn't even eat him. And the ass that he was riding, and he just sat there and looked at it. Lions usually kill because they want something to eat. I said, everybody wanted to know, just like when he had them bring the Ark of the Covenant back, that if they brought some calves that were just being weaned off their mother and they took it and left their mothers. It was letting know that there was a supernatural God. Try taking a calf off the mother and see if you can get it to go away from the mother. See, God has a way of vindicating and showing himself. And people do not know the Word of God today. They're sitting in churches and the preachers don't know the Word of God. And they're following after theology or of a college. Well, this is what I went to Bible college for. And if some Bible college reprobate taught them the wrong doctrine and the wrong thing, it was nothing but doctrines of devils. And they're all teaching the same thing because they all got blind leaders. They say you're going to have a scholarship. Let me tell you, when I was a young man seeking after, I was considering it. I was offered paid way to into Bible college. Said they'd pay my way and everything. I considered. And I got my eyes open to see what was coming out of there and what was happening from these colleges. You know, and they train them how to preach. They teach them how to outline and do these things. And it just turns into an intellectual thing. Got a sermon. I know when to raise my voice. I know when to shout. I know when to get excited. You know, I'm sorry, brethren. That's not the anointing of God. Many preachers I know couldn't sit under this message tonight because I didn't do it the way they do it. But I could have changed up and I've screamed and yelled and ran back and forth. Man, praise God, we heard from God tonight. You heard from God tonight anyway. Take heed to what you heard, lest at any time you'd let it slip, is what the Bible says. All right, let's all stand together. Jesus offended the woman, and she came back with faith and said, but even the dogs, when he called her dogs, said, even the dogs eat the crumbs from under the master's table. And he said, what great faith. So like Brother Arthur said, if you can be offended, you need to be offended until you could be offended no more. I've had men in my face say, you ain't nothing but the devil. And I say, I love you. You got to get out of offense. You got to get to a place in God that you are known and you're sure. People say, well, I know that I'm a son of God. I'm so sure. I'm sure that I'm sure. I told you the man had his arm around the whore. I knew the man's wife and the woman under his arm that was shacked up with him. You say calling her a whore is offensive. Well, let me tell you, that's what the Bible calls them. If you're sleeping with a man that ain't your husband, you're a whore. You can say anything that you want. You can call it any way you want. We could water it down. We could be politically correct. We don't want to offend nobody. No, it's a whore. We just got to get simple with things. You know what I'm saying? But the man looked me right in the eye and he said, you know, preacher, don't matter what you say. He said, I know I'm a Christian. He said, I know I'm born again. And if I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. Well, that makes the Word of God a lie. If that man died that night and he went to heaven, it made the Word of God a lie. And I'll tell you one thing, God isn't a lie and His Word's not a lie. Amen. He said, let my Word be true and every man be a liar. And that man was a liar. The Word of God said that every whore and whoremonger and drunkard are going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's the Word of God, brother. So if you're living in adultery or fornication or harlotry or shacked up, then you are guilty to the Word of God. And you have teachers and preachers that are supposed to rebuke you and reprove you that you repent of your sin, which doesn't mean to say I'm sorry for what I am. That means you turn away from it. You put the drunkenness behind you. You put the tobacco behind you. You put the whores behind you. You put the lion behind you. Amen. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. If you're a liar, you could sit there and try to convince yourself you're a Christian. But I'm telling you what the Bible said. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And some people, they lie so much they don't even have a conscience about it. This one little man that just left our church here in the last little bit, man, he'd look you right in the eye and lie to you without even thinking. I mean, he was so skilled at it. You think, you know, you're looking at a preacher here, guy, and you're lying right through your teeth. Pray for him. I trust God will save his soul. Amen. All right, let's sing a song and we'll close. Altars are open.
Use me, Lord, don't refuse me.
Just talking with you a little this evening. Think about it. Consider it. If you know something I don't know and you can show me that I'm wrong, bring the Bible to me. If I can show you that you're wrong and you're not sure, we'll sit down, open up the Word. That's my desire, to be used of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Surely there's a work that I can do.
Brother Chuck just shared a report about Brother Roger's wife having a little physical complications with the doctor. She's back home. But remember her in prayer. Hold her up in prayer, saints of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just remember the Bible said to examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. He said make your calling and your election sure. The Bible said many are called but few are chosen. Have you been chosen of God? Did He choose you? Have you brought fruit meant under repentance? The Apostle Paul said that. He was looking for fruit meant for repentance. In other words, I want to see some fruit in your life. That you've really turned away from the world and come out to be a peculiar people. A separate people. Bible teaches you to come out of the world, amen. I know it sounds like I'm a male chauvinist pig when you heard some of the things I said. I heard a woman preacher say that about the Apostle Paul. I think, whoa. Women have an awesome place in God. an awesome, awesome place in God. Woman is a very special thing to God. Very special. When a man finds a wife, he finds him a good thing. Amen. A virtuous woman is something very commendable. I don't have a problem with women, brethren. I have a problem with forward women that have self-authority over men, because it's not biblical. It's not biblical for a woman to command her house. It's not biblical for her husband to submit under her in some kind of a leadership way. The man needs to command his house. And the only way a man can do that is if he's following Christ. When a man ain't following Christ, then a woman will take authority over him, because God's going to show him. Says, this is what you're doing. Because you're following after your flesh, I'm going to put a fleshly woman over you. That's what God's going to do. He's going to allow that to happen. So a woman in her rightful place in God is so to be esteemed and admired as a beautiful thing. Adorned with Christ is a beautiful thing. You know, and it's a wonderful thing. Women could teach other women. They could teach children. That's a wonderful thing. That's a woman's role. A woman's going to take and command her children and run the household in that perspective. And the man will give her the sovereignty. I don't like a man that just says, I'm the man. Shut up, woman. I'm the head of the house. Just shut your mouth and you're just going to listen. That man ain't fit to call himself a husband. A man will lead the house just as Christ leads. Now, Christ can get strong with you and I. He'll get strong with me. I'm the woman. The bride of Christ. Now, so you men that think you got this special thing because you're a man, just remember you're the bride of Christ. And he's coming for his bride. That means you're going to submit to him. You're going to shut your mouth. And you're going to say, here I am, Lord. Make the decisions. Now, when God sees you doing that to him, being the bride, and you submitted and follow him, your wife will line up with you. And she'll follow. Amen. And be glad to. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Sometimes men don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear that. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.